Yesterday here on Abounding Grace Radio, Pastor Chris Gordon and I touched on the issue of prayer. Today we'll continue that look. Here's Pastor Chris to get things rolling.
There are times when we will come to the Lord and pour out our hearts because we're in deep despair and our words are very few and we're hurting. But in general, we should not just come to the Lord as a sort of cosmic genie. We should come praising Him, acknowledging Him.
You ever do that? I think we all have a time or two. Treat God as if He were a genie or the cosmic Santa Claus, just looking for stuff. Well, there's more to prayer than just satiating our own selfish desires. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon, who joins us in studio today to look once again at the issue of prayer. Do you struggle with this in your life? Stick around, we'll help you out. Let's get things rolling back in studio now, shall we? So last time we were together, we were looking at prayer, and we were focusing on prayer using the Heidelberg Catechism to help us through that a bit. We kind of dealt with just exactly, for those of you who are new to the program today, what the Heidelberg Catechism is. So I would encourage you, if you missed our last program, go to agradio.org, and you'll be able to pull up the last broadcast and give it a listen and then come back and then listen to this one, right? Which, by the way, we mention this from time to time. If you do have a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to answer it here on the program. All you need to do is use that smartphone and the voice memo app, record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. And if we use it on the air, we'll let you know when. We'll email you back. How about that? So last time we were together, Chris, prayer was on the table. We were looking at the Heidelberg Catechism. Today, I want to move forward. We've kind of laid that foundation. Romans 8, Philippians 4, Heidelberg Catechism again. When it comes to prayer, why do we pray? We touched on this last time, but I think there are a lot of folks out there who seem to think that, man, prayer is just access to a genie who's going to give me whatever I want. All I got to do is believe and believe real hard, and man, I get it. Is that really why we come to God?
Right. A good segue into this discussion from last time, and I do want to echo you to what you said, Andy, that the listener that first we covered a lot of ground in that first section on prayer on the last recording. So, but your question's a good one to start. It is absolutely true that we use God and come to Him in a way that is not pleasing often in prayer. We use him as a genie, like you said. We also use him. I always call him what people think of him as sort of a cosmic granddaddy with a big wallet, right? This is what they think of God, who's just there and almost created for us, as if He's a created being. I mean, this is how the confusion of who God is today and the lack of knowledge of who He is has just invaded the church. That people think that God is here for our existence and just to make us happy. And we have to start over if that's what has happened. And in large part that is. But to get to your question, there is a proper way of approaching God in prayer. With humility and coming to Him in the ways that He has revealed Himself in His Word, God has told us how to approach Him. In fact, if you struggle with prayer, I know Martin Luther used to say, no one really can have excuse not to pray. They can even pray the prayer that Jesus taught them to pray and say the Lord's Prayer. If you pray that from the heart, you're saying a lot. So
you are, exactly.
But, you know, the first thing there being, hallowed be your name, a reverencing of God, an honoring of Him, of cherishing of who He is and how He's revealed Himself and His goodness, His attributes, His justice, His mercy, His, all those things. We praise and acknowledge the God of our salvation. What we talked about last time was the fact that prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. But here's what we're focusing on more today, because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking God for them. That's a marvelous thing to say, that God when we come to him, pouring out our hearts before him in true faith, believing, he actually gives us grace and his Holy Spirit. Now, we talked about the struggle with sin last time, that sin often has a weakening effect on our life. I don't know if we think of it that way, but it actually does. When we sin, it weakens us. It weakens our walks. It weakens our spirituality, that we find ourselves having no real strength to get through. Sin weakens every part of our lives. And if you find yourself at times feeling like, I can't get up, I can't handle this, I can't do this, it could be that there's a sin that is weighing you and loading you down. And that's exactly what in sanctification, Romans 8 is saying to us, that there's wonderful benefits of prayer. Think of Romans 7, where Paul says, the things that I don't want to do, these I keep on doing. And it seemed like this battle with sin, he felt defeated and struggling. And of course, he turns to the gospel. He turns to praise be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that he has given us salvation. But then in chapter 8, he really shows the power that is given to us in the Christian life by the work of the Spirit. And he says that you have, as sons, the ability to come to God and say, Abba, Father. To talk to your heavenly Father. Think of this in Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So think of the beauty as we pray to the Lord, as we come to our heavenly Father. One of the blessings he gives us is his Holy Spirit, who reassures our hearts that we are God's children. And then this section has about three or four more benefits of the Spirit's work in our lives. The Spirit helps us to put to death the deeds of the body so that we might live. That's Romans 8:13. And he goes on to say here, for we don't even know what to pray for as we ought. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. And the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So think of this beautiful thing that is said to us here, that as in all of our weaknesses in this life, God gives us his Holy Spirit, who actually intercedes for us in prayer, answers and prays according to the perfect will of God, and helps us with his grace, putting to death sin in our life, all through this access that we have as adopted sons by which we come and are able in prayer to say our heavenly Father. What a blessing and benefit. To which I say that it is absolutely true that if we're not praying, we're going to find ourselves in the course of our sanctification really struggling with making a much progress in putting to death sin in our life. And I think prayer is a crucial avenue by which, and this is what the Heidelberg's saying here, God gives us grace and Holy Spirit to help us. What a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It really is. And it kind of, you know, as you start working through Romans 8 and you see the outcome of what Romans 8 is telling us, what Paul is telling us, it kind of points towards Philippians 4 a bit, doesn't it? In everything, we then have the ability to do this, to pray.
Right. And Philippians 4 is a really helpful passage, one that I think oftentimes can be treated rather simplistically, as if, you know, we should never have any anxiety. And if we have anxiety, then, you know, something's wrong. There are a variety of reasons for anxiety in the Christian life. There could be real physical issues that bring that about, right? But the kind of thing he's talking about in Philippians 4, where it says, be anxious for nothing, he's talking about all the worries in this life that we have entertained, taken into our hearts, that are really worries that demonstrate a lack of trust in the Lord's care and provision for us. I mean, this is why Jesus said, don't worry about your life, what you're going to put on tomorrow, all the stuff we generally worry about. And Jesus went on to say there, listen, God feeds the birds of the air. You ever seen a bird dive down on a ground? And I don't know how he saw the worm in the ground, but he just went straight down and grabbed the worm and went straight back up. That is an amazing thing. God feeds the birds of the air. And when we're worrying about everything in life that way, then that kind of worry is sin. And what the scriptures are saying there is the way that we go forward out of that, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. If you break that down a little bit, it's super helpful. That first word for prayer is sort of a, what we would say a doxological word, that it should be an adoration kind of way of prayer to the Lord. There are times when we will come to the Lord and pour out our hearts because we're in deep despair and our words are very few and we're hurting. But in general, we should not just come to the Lord, like you said at the beginning, as a sort of cosmic genie. We should come praising him, acknowledging him. Listen to the Psalms. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, renews your strength like the eagles. That adoration in prayer is so important because it really does set the heart in a proper perspective of who's in control in life. So notice, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, acknowledge all the good that the Lord has done for you. Praise him for his kindness. Praise him for his salvation. Thank him for all of the ways that he's helped you in the past. Rehearse the past and think of his faithfulness over the years. And then he says, when you've done that, make your requests known to God. Cast your cares upon him. He cares for you. Tell him what's on your heart. Bring to him the burdens of your heart. Tell him. He wants you to talk to him that way. It's okay to pour out your heart to the Lord with what's going on. But then he says something beautiful. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He didn't say that God will automatically, because you prayed, change your circumstance, which I think a lot of Christians are confused about today. Why doesn't God seem to fix anything? Why doesn't God seem to be doing anything? Notice what was said there. He doesn't say it's an automatic fix. What he says is he'll do something else for you. The peace of God will rest on your heart and your mind. What that means is he's going to strengthen you so that whatever it is, even if the circumstance does not change, he has a good purpose for you in that, in conformity to the image of his son. But that even in that, as the peace of God rests on your heart and your mind, your perspective will change in that circumstance and the despair will be taken away. He will take away your anxiety. That is one of the blessings that he desires to give you as you rest and trust upon him. How many times have we seen people, Andy, dear beloved Christians, in when they've received a terminal diagnosis or something that is just devastating, we're amazed at how they're handling it.
You can really tell the difference of what you're saying because they didn't fight or battle cancer. They fought sin to enter the gates of praise. And they would tell you that. They have told me that. There is a huge difference in how you approach the trials of life when you've got a proper perspective of the access and avenue of prayer that we have to God, isn't there?
Yeah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fight cancer. That's not what it says, right? Listen, we may fight. We may use the medical means to help us. But that the reality is, I will, you know, the mentality should not be, I'm going on my cancer walk and I will defy cancer today, as Hollywood does. The answer should be, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then if I do die in this valley, what does the end of that psalm say? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the perspective of the Christian. And prayer is a way that God gives us to clear our minds and to receive from him grace and help in these very distressing times. But as you said at the beginning, something that should be a normal, you know, way of life for us to talk to God. So those are such helpful things to think about with regard to prayer.
What's the old song, when upon life's billows your tempest tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. Man, no matter what we find ourselves going through, even in the thickest of it, and boy, I can tell you, you and I both know, we've been on our knees, on our backs, weeping before the Lord because of the things we're going through. At the end of the day, our Heavenly Father is still our Heavenly Father, and He is on the throne, and we have an elder brother who has loved us with an ultimate love, don't we?
That's absolutely right. No matter how bad things get, God is on the throne. And I love the imagery in Revelation 4 and 5 that He's seated on the throne. A throne is fixed in heaven. And everything that comes down from His throne, it's a sea of glass before Him. There's complete calm. There's nothing that's overthrowing His purposes for us. It would be distressing if we thought this life was full of chance. But we don't believe that as Christians. We believe that everything is in the providential hand of God, providence being that nothing does indeed happen by chance. Everything is governed by Him. And that's the greatest comfort to us as believers. And I think this gets to another issue that you raised at the beginning, the assurance that God hears our prayer. God is answering us. I think, you know, Paul, in when he received his thorn in the flesh, we don't know exactly what it was, but it was some terrible affliction that was really hurting him. A messenger of Satan to torment him, he said, I went to the Lord 3 times in prayer, begging Him to take it away. And the response was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That is such a beautiful, beautiful passage, because what it's saying is that even though the circumstance didn't change, Christ's power was resting upon Him, and He had heard Paul's prayer. He did receive that prayer and gave him an answer, in that the next few words Paul says there is, therefore I will rather boast in my infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. The Lord had answered him, maybe not in the quite way that he wanted, right, initially, but it was the right answer. And I think that's what we have to trust in. The Lord is hearing our prayer and receiving the cries of His people. I think that's one of the other beauties that's said here in the Heidelberg Catechism in question answer 117. We rest on this unshakable foundation, even though we don't deserve it. God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That is what God promised us in His word. When we're feeling the despair, when we're overwhelmed, the assurance is we have a mediator, one who has the holes still for us, one who has paid the penalty, one who has loved us and died for us. He has earned this for us. That's what His life, death, and resurrection has done, earned us access and the fatherly benediction and favor of God. That means that when we are coming through the Lord Jesus Christ, that prayer is heard, that prayer is received, and we can be certain of that, which all the more should inspire us to pray. I have to say, that is not true that God hears the prayers of the wicked. What I mean by that is God knows everything. God sees, hears everything. What I'm saying is He doesn't receive those prayers in any way as to a benefit to them. If they have not come through Jesus and they are praying selfishly according to their own wants and desires, this is a special privilege the Christian has, to be able to come to the throne of grace and receive grace and help in time of need. That's the access you're given. That's the blessing you're given, to which we should say, why would we not pray to a God who's given us this kind of access and benefit and blessing?
You started to lead us down a road that was, I thought, quite helpful. And in the 2 minutes we've got left to close the program out, if you could go back to it again and close us out with this thought. When you don't know what to pray, when you're confused and you're not sure, that Lord's Prayer, or the Disciples' Prayer, as it's been called, is really quite instructive. As you said, Martin Luther said, man, just pray that. But it is. It's more of an outline, isn't it? not a simple prayer to pray as much as a guideline or an outline of things to pray about and for, right?
Right. And that's a great place to end the program. If you're struggling with prayer, the Lord taught us how to pray. The disciples were struggling with it. Lord, teach us to pray. We want to know how to pray. Give us guidance in how to pray. And this is one of the beauties of the Heidelberg, is that if you go on from here, make sure you get that document. We'll send you one if you write in or call to us. At the end of it is a whole exposition of what the Lord's Prayer means, what the petitions of the Lord's Prayer mean. You know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I mean, quickly, we can go through a few of these, but say, think about praying, give us this day our daily bread. All of our needs, the Lord promises to take care of us and to provide for us. And prayer expresses that dependency on Him. And if we're struggling to have our needs met, come to Him in prayer. He promises to care for us that way. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That confession of sin is such an important part of our communion and with God, to confess our sins. And the promise of Scripture is He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, lead us not into temptation. Order our lives, Lord, for we will go right into it. Order our lives and keep us from it, because we're so weak, we can't hold our own even for a moment. Your kingdom come. Lord, tear down the works of the devil and build your church. Add to your church, grow your reign in this earth through your people. And this is all there in the Heidelberg. But those core petitions of the Lord's Prayer are teaching us how to pray and what the content of our prayer should sound like. And when I'm struggling with prayer, I love to do that even as a pastor in corporate prayer. And we should say that's why prayer is so important in worship. We've kind of lost that today, but we need to bring back the corporate prayer and worship, where I often will go back to the Lord's Prayer, which is a great guide for me in how to lead the congregation in prayer. So I hope all of this, it's a lot to say in a short amount of time, all of this encourages the Christian to use this great avenue that he has been given to call out and fellowship and commune with his God through this great benefit of prayer.
You know, Peter tells us we have been given everything pertaining to life and godliness. And boy, I can't think of something greater in that everything than what we've been talking about here in the last couple of days, that of prayer. We trust you've been encouraged, really challenged, to bolster your prayer life through yesterday and today's broadcast. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We've taken some time today to study God's Word that we might find our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and find Him all the more beautiful, thereby encouraging us to walk through our day-to-day life with confidence, assurance, and grace, and joy as well. If you have questions or comments about the program, we'd love to hear from you. As always, we enjoy interacting with you, our listeners, finding out how the program encourages you in Christ and what challenges you in this life. Now, there are several platforms that you can reach out to us at. First and foremost, our website, agradio.org. Again, that's agradio.org. Now, when you visit that website, you will also find links to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, which are other platforms that you can reach out to us through as well. Again, Facebook and Twitter, as well as Instagram, or simply call us, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Now, as you get a hold of us online, bear in mind you can also listen to today's program or past programs there on our website, again, agradio.org. If you'd like a CD copy, simply give us a call and we'll set that up for you. Again, the number is 888-504-8805. Now, bear in mind, as you visit us online at agradio.org, maybe you're planning a visit sometime soon, or you're going to be in another part of the country. Well, we have a place there at our website that will give you a list of all the radio stations that we're currently airing Abounding Grace Radio. So again, it's a handy tool to have if you find yourself traveling soon. Now, as we are on several stations, we'd like to remind you that this broadcast is a listener-supported program, which means your financial resources help greatly as we broadcast this program in various markets throughout the country. Please consider that as you pray for us and as you seek to encourage us in Christ. No gift is too small, no gift is too big, whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly gift. It all helps, and it all goes back into the radio program. It's a marvelous way to promote the gospel of Christ, isn't it? Thank you again for spending time with us today. As always, it's a blessing and a pleasure getting together with you that we might mutually grow in Christ. And until next time, may Christ be your abounding grace. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.